Welcome, ladies and gentlemen of the internet, to the return of the Orange and Blueprint podcast, a hip hop sports report production, if you will. I'm Anthony, I'm your host, and I'm going to gloss over everything New York Knicks up until this point. We're going to talk about the games. We're going to talk about the stories. We're going to talk about the couple of stories I actually found that are related to the Knicks off court that I wanted to highlight, and hopefully have a good time. You know, hit us up on the site, hiphopsourcereport.com. We've got some different things going on there right now that are somehow not Knick related. I know Justin just put out a story about Logic and his biting tendencies. There's a review of the game's latest double disc album coming out, written by yours truly. So if you would, you know, check out both of those. We've always got more stuff coming out. Pick up Natural Life, written by our own Kenneth Hicks. And yeah, all that, that's all that on the site. Everything you're looking for there. We have a Hot 16 that was out recently on the NFL at the midpoint, which is pretty good. Caused a little bit of controversy on the internets, and so that's always fun. But go to the site for all the other stuff. You're listening here to hear about the New York Knicks, and so far this season, where you know I wrote in my own prediction that for the season that we would be a 500 team, and right now, that's kind of where we are. We're, you know, we're in the midst of a road trip right now. Had a kind of a somewhat embarrassing loss last night to the hated, you know, Miami Heat. They just continuously frustrate and astound. But it is what it is. We're still kind of figuring things out. And, you know, I'm going to go keep working back a little bit from there. We beat Houston and Oklahoma City. You know, neither one was at full strength, but you know, you play the teams that are on your schedule when they're on the schedule. But the Knicks have been looking kind of good. Excuse me, we're playing good defense, and we're facing hard teams. We've up to this point, if you look back at the season so far, we've managed to be around 500. Had a stolen victory in Charlotte. Stolen victory. You know, Kristaps hit that giant three that should have been a game winner, but it wasn't. Stole one in Toronto. You know, had a bunch of different games, performances from you know, our miraculous rookie from Latvia. And I'll kind of get into his whole, you know, season so far a little bit later. But you know, the Knicks have played a kind of a tough schedule, and we were done no favors by the schedule makers. We've played, you know, LeBron and the Cavs twice, played the Spurs, played the Hawks early, and actually got thrashed by the Hawks. Our only bad loss, really, is between last night at the Heat and then early on in the season versus the Hawks. Both those teams figure to be some of the top of the Eastern Conference at the end, and hopefully the Knicks are somewhere floating at a tier below them when playoff time comes around. And so, yeah, we've had a lot of up and down performances. You know, we had to wait for Carmelo Anthony to get his legs back, you know, Jose Calderon to try and figure out how he wants to play, and you know, and we had the injury early to Aaron Aflalo. So it's a brand new team, and it was a brand new team that had to kind of figure out physically how to play and how to get healthy. So at 500 with those kind of obstacles, I wouldn't say I'm satisfied, but I'm, you know what? I would say I'm satisfied. I think that's a good word. Satisfied, but still looking for more, because we've shown that we can kind of hang with teams and not make a ton of mistakes until the fourth quarter, unfortunately. Those kinds of, issues with closing out games have been kind of a consistent for bugaboo, for lack of a better term. I'm a little ashamed of that term, actually, but it is what it is. It's kind of a thing that's been bothering the Knicks this year, and for 13 games in, that's okay. I can deal with that. I touched on earlier some of the games. I want to go through some noteworthy, what I deem noteworthy wins and losses so far. And I mentioned the game we kind of stole in Toronto. That was kind of when, you know, Kristaps really started to make a name for himself. That was a couple of weeks back when he was, you know, dunking on cats everywhere. I'm pretty sure that when he banged on those four Raptors that Toronto was annexed as part of Latvia. I'm not 100% sure, but I'm 99% sure that's accurate. Don't look it up because I don't want to waste your time, but I'm pretty sure that's accurate. Also, you know, Kristaps had the return to MSG where he really kind of showed his full repertoire of things he can do as far as scoring from basically everywhere, defending, getting rebounds and blocks. That was when he was had his own name screamed from the rafters in MSG. Porzingis. I love that moment. Not gonna lie, I saw a person on Twitter I follow was like. And on the game, the 11th game of the season, he turned boos into cheers, just like he said he would at the draft. And, you know, that is true. This kid has come in and he's reset the math for the New York Knicks. That's kind of a phrase that's going around on the internet, and I believe it to be true. Our commander-in-chief here at HHSR, Justin, I told him, I was like, you know, Kristaps last night against the Heat, he played a poor game and got 20 and 14 with a couple of blocks and maybe an assist or two. And, you know, he just said, well, that's the mark of a great player. A bad game, you still put up really good numbers. And this kid is just starting to, you know, figure it out. So, he's something else. He's something else. We got us one, and we'll keep on riding with him, see how that works out. Some other noteworthy games. These are noteworthy losses. Like I mentioned, the two to the Cavs. We're in both games. Kristaps Porzingis might just be better than Kevin Love. I don't feel like the gap there is that big at this point. But you know, it is what it is. That's what happens when you get baptized by Kristaps Porzingis. I just think you're not as good as him. But you know, we had those tough losses to the Cavs. Home loss to the Spurs. You know, but that was early on, and, you know, we're still building, but I think that those kinds of games, the term moral victory kind of sucks, but they taught us a lot, I feel like, and steel sharpens steel. So if you're going to try and eventually get to that level, like the Spurs will be winning 50 games a year from now until infinity, but you want to get to that level, you're going to have to be able to kind of show that you can fight and continue to fight against the higher caliber of teams. You know, those are caliber teams. And, you know, the Knicks are trying to be a playoff caliber team, a 500, you know, type of team. So, you know, you want to kind of show that you can, you know, test your mettle or your might, if you like Mortal Kombat, against those kinds of things. So, you know, those were like three noteworthy losses of the, six or seven that we have now. So, yeah, that's not too bad. That's not too bad. A couple of trends I've noticed is that, I mentioned earlier, the Knicks are playing hard. People have been really kind of critical of, you know, Coach Derek Fisher and, you know, his lineups and things of that nature. He's playing all these guys. Everybody gets to play like it's some kind of, you know, CYO league. But the fact of the matter is he's figuring it out and it's still exceptionally early in the season. You know, this is the first episode of this podcast and I'm like, oh man, everything's rushing past us. We've played, you know, everyone's probably around their 14th or 15th game. They play 80 games. And while you want to have everything figured out from day one or there within, let's pump the brakes a little bit, everyone. You know, things are still being figured out. Unless you're the Warriors, you are still figuring things out. And the Warriors are just in a whole different stratosphere as far as basketball is concerned. So there's some people being a little critical of Derek Fisher. I think last night he showed that he's willing to try things and see what works. That was one thing where so many people played, nobody was doing anything really. The entire bench came out flat. the entire team played flat. And sometimes you kind of expect that on a third away game in a four game road trip. You know, hopefully it can get a much needed win against Orlando, and then, you know, try and turn it back around. You know, we just went on a four game win streak. Western Conference teams, you know, all that stuff on the road. And then, you know, have a little letdown like this, that happens. But the Knicks are playing good defense, and they're doing the things that you need to do to win in this day and age. They're shooting from three-point land pretty well. They were second or third before the Miami game. And, you know, everyone shot poorly, so that's probably not the case anymore. But, you know, if you're up with, you know, teams like the Warriors in three-point shooting percentage, that means you're doing pretty well. If you're playing defense and you're some of the top, like a top five or top 15-ish defense, that's really well considering what they say is defense wins championships. And if you're going to be a team like the New York Knicks, who are going to struggle to score. Like, we typically don't score over 100 points. Being able to defend and defend well, that's huge. You know, they play at a slow pace. That means they limit turnovers and all that kind of stuff. That helps too. All those things work together to make them a team that can kind of excel at being a team that's going to defend and make the kind of shots that are in vogue in today's NBA, I guess. At times they have lulls in scoring because in reality we have a team full of below average to average scorers and above average defenders and rebounders. And that's good, but things like that happened last night where if your bench doesn't have it, your starters can come back in, but it's hard to be on the road in a place like Miami. Miami's a very good team right now. I think they're second in the conference, and I know they're one of the better defensive teams in the league. And all of a sudden it looks like, okay, well, Carmelo and Kristaps, we need you to score 60 points more than the 50 that you scored tonight. So, you know, it just happens. You know, teams have off nights, but they're showing a lot of fight and a lot of ability to limit their mistakes and force other mistakes and then capitalize off, especially offensive rebounds, but rebounding in general. So those are going to be positive trends I hope to continue. Hopefully we can get some more back to normal type scoring, especially from like Langston Galloway, Jose Calderon. Maybe if we can see a little something from Lance Thomas every now and again. But, so that's kind of overall for the team. I kind of like what Derek Fisher's doing. I do think he does need to kind of, before it's Thanksgiving is in a couple of days, before Christmas, we definitely need to have a solid, like, nine-man rotation, 9 to 10. But, you know, that'll come with time. And we need to get rid of Saša Vujačić as soon as possible. But, you know, things happen. Hopefully some of these people are being showcased for trades. That would be good if we can maybe get back into the first round next year. But that's far and beyond something we don't need to be concerned about now. As far as other other trends, Carmelo Anthony's starting to really turn it around. He's getting his scoring back up. He looked a little tired last night. But like I said, you know, that's something you'll have when you're in your third game of a four-game road trip. You know, Adam Silver's done a good job of limiting back-to-backs, but, you know, those trips still, you know, they still kind of wear people out, and Carmelo is 30 or 31, something like that, so it's disheartening a little bit, but hopefully Fisher can manage his minutes, keep him down, keep him fresh, but, you know, it's a marathon, not a sprint, so we'll see how that goes. As far as Melo the player, this is the best I may have seen him play all around basketball in his New York Knicks uniform. He's getting rebounds. He's playing better, you know, more engaged man-to-man defense or man-on-defense, following his assignments. And he's looking for his teammates. You can tell he trusts the players around him. You know, it matters who you play with. Why would you want, logically, like, why would you want to try and force Carmelo to throw the ball to, like, Jared Jeffries, like he did in the Celtics in the playoffs so many years back, Jerry Jeffries tried the ball out of bounds. You know, now he's throwing the ball to proving himself week in and week out, Langston Galloway, who's one of the top three-point shooters in the league right now. Jose Calderon, one of the top three-point shooters ever. You know, Aaron Aflalo, who can score on his own. Kristaps Porzingis, who showed he's great. You know, he's dropping the ball off. He's not going to ever reach the assist kind of numbers that LeBron is going to get, you know, before anyone starts saying that. But he's averaging 4 assists a game. You know, for a guy who's a great scorer, who gets all the gravity that he does to pulling people's attention, he's making moves and he's moving the ball around. So that's all good. And then his defense is at a much higher level. Hopefully all those things continue. And hopefully he can get a little bit less in minutes per game. I think he's at 35 now. I would prefer to see him at closer to 30. But, you know, we'll see how that goes. Other things going, we have, I mentioned Jose Calderon and Aaron Aflalo. Both of those two have started to kind of show themselves as the kind of assets that they were touted when they were brought into the teams, you know, via trade or free agency, respectively. And, you know, Jose is really starting to shoot well. He's a kind of terrible defender, but he's trying. He's playing, you can see that he's playing smart to compensate for his lack of foot speed. I mean, he's 35, and he's just outmatched athletically every night. Like, I don't know when we're going to play Raymond Felton, but that might be the next worst point guard as far as athleticism, and who knows. It's always poor, but Jose Calderon's starting to really find a shot, which is making his offense of more of a value to kind of compensate for his defensive liability. You know, he's not a net neutral, but, you know, we're getting closer, and there's something to his ability to play, how it affects the younger guards. Like, I've seen, you know, Langston Galloway went out, and for whatever it's worth, Langston Galloway went out on Instagram, and gave some gram love to Jose Calderon. You know, Kristaps Porzingis did the same thing. And you can tell that these people kind of like him and like what he does on and off the court. So there's that level of maybe away from the cameras, things that matter to a team, you know, veteran presence and, you know, that kind of stuff. So, you know, that's Jose Calderon. He's starting to score. He's starting to hit from three. That's going to keep, you know, enhance spacing, which is going to be important for this team with, you know, Robin Lopez is not a scorer by any means. And Aaron Aflalo scores best from mid-range. So it's going to cause some clogging. We need him to be able to score from three and, you know, limit the bleeding, so to speak, on defense. Excuse me. His backcourt mate, Aaron Aflalo, he's coming around. You know, I was worried about him. You know, hamstring injuries, they tend to linger. But he actually looks pretty good, better than I expected anyway. And he is scoring timely, and he's able to create a little bit. And those two things are important because, like I mentioned again, we're going to struggle to score. And he defends much better than I expected. He was buried a little bit by people saying, oh, well, he's no longer the defender that he was. And that might be the case, but I watched him defend James Harden pretty well. Like, I think he and Lance Thomas kind of split duties mostly, but he's defended James Harden pretty well. He, you know, gets switched on to different players, and he can defend. He's a plus defender, and we need that on the perimeter, you know, especially with the other guys that we have, especially Jose, his backcourt mate. So, you know, that's good. Loving seeing that defensive, you know, intensity, you know, smart defending. He doesn't foul a lot. At least he hasn't so far. But so that's kind of good. And then, you know, conversely, we have our younger backcourt, Jerian Grant and Langston Galloway, who I talked about earlier. Those two kind of, you know, especially Jerian Grant, he's much more athletic. He isn't playing a lot because his shot is broke right now, but he gets the free throw line, and you have to have that. You have to have that from your bench. If you're not going to be able to score, get to the free throw line. Him and Derek Williams do a great job of getting to the free throw line to kind of bolster up their lack of any consistent jumpers. And a team like the Knicks, who is not very athletic in its starting unit, we're going to need those two to keep it up, keep on attacking the basket and being unselfish with the ball, especially Derek Williams, as he can be a little bit tunnel vision, have a little bit of tunnel vision, get a little bit of just general basketball. The term I've been seeing around, not necessarily specifically about him, but is being used, is basketball illiteracy. Sometimes it seems like he just can't read what's going on, and he goes crashing into somebody, and he's got, you know, things that look like little terrible corn things in his head and flapping everywhere. So, you know, those two need to be aggressive, but they need to both need to try and be a little smarter. Jerry and Grant gets a little, he gets a little kind of dancey a little bit with the ball, but he still makes things happen. So I'm happy with those two. Hopefully they can keep it going. Langston Galloway, like I mentioned earlier, he's been basically shooting lights out this year from three, which has been great for a guy who kind of had an okay shot last year. The improvement is incredible, and it's so much needed for this team to get scoring out of the bench. And he's a calming force. Like, people are kind of, you know, demanding, rallying, or whatever you want to call it, for him to be a starter. Well, you know what? He's closing games. You know, it's like they say, it's not how you start, it's how you finish. He's in the games at the end because he can make big shots and he plays good defense. And, you know, it's important to have those kinds of players, especially from a team chemistry and from a bigger picture, or at least from a different picture, from a financial one. He's on a very low cost contract. I think he's a restricted free agent this year. Hopefully they end up re-signing him to a very kind of fair deal, but something that keeps him in town and allows him to be a valuable part going forward of the team. So, like, those are, like, kind of the backcourt, young and old, quote-unquote. And so hopefully all that kind of continues. Langston Galloway might just be a sixth man of the year candidate if he continues to shoot as well as he has been. Shoot and defend, I should say. And, you know, that would be great. I think we've got a pretty good kind of mix of really great young talent and then veteran talent that can kind of lead the way, in theory, if the ship gets wayward. So, you know, that's kind of good stuff. And other things that I saw is that we have a lot of Kevin Serafin. When I mentioned, well, at least, you know, touched on people getting playing time, he was one of the guys who I'm thinking that maybe getting showcased for a potential trade later on. And I don't know if he could, I doubt he could garner a first from anyone, but if he could get us a second, get us just some more, you know, talent in here, because this guy is not good, but he sure does masquerade as a good big man. And if some fool can be parted with a draft pick or maybe another guard or something like that, to kind of fill out, even out this roster between, you know, front court and back court players, then, you know, do that, Phil, if you can, if you're within the sound of my voice, figure a way to get him off the team, because he is just not good. He's just not good. But, you know, this team has a lot of low cost kind of talent. And for a team that looks that they kind of feel like they need one more big, he would be seemingly ripe for the taking. A better team would kind of limit his minutes to 10 a game. And I think he's getting a little more than that here, but we are who we are. So, you know, it is what it is. And lastly, before I let you go, and we can all prepare for hopefully another win streak going, I wanted to bring up a couple of stories that I found about just kind of highlight some things we like to, you know, always want to highlight positive things we find. And I came across a couple of things on Carmelo Anthony. He has this Vice Sports series going on that's been really good. It's been really interesting. It shows some of his story from him buying or becoming a part owner of a minor league soccer team in Puerto Rico. I believe it's the Puerto Rican Football Club or Puerto Rico Football Club, something to that effect. And so they kind of went through all that, how he wants to help bring some more pride to the island. He's half Puerto Rican. And, you know, in probably in getting in touch with his you know, Hispanic heritage, you know, he's been going, there's other stories I've seen of him going back, and he does a lot of charity work on in Puerto Rico to, you know, I think he's got at least one or two basketball courts there, kind of refurbish them, make them, you know, playable for the youth there in the areas, the kind of more hoodish areas of Puerto Rico. And then, you know, he's got the involvement in the soccer club and those kind of things just to revitalize and re-energize the social scene there, which is impressive, which is great. And then the next episode, if you will, I believe it was where he went back to his New York home, which is in Red Hook. They showed where he grew up, and they showed the kind of area that he was in when he was, you know, he was in his formative years, you know, before he moved to Baltimore and grew up, really. And so that was kind of interesting. Then he went back to, in the latest episode, he went to Rikers Island to talk to the younger kind of inmates there and, you know, try and be a little bit of a positive kind of mentor, speaker, whatever you want to call it, for them to say, hey, I came from where you were, and you can, this is not the end, is basically what his kind of whole thing was. And I thought that was kind of cool. They're really well done. And you get to see Carmelo in a kind of a different light. It seems more real, which is cool. He kind of has a little bit of a... His persona generally seems very forced, very manufactured. But in these, he seems kind of more real, more relaxed. And that's kind of good to see. You know, he had a couple of years ago, he caught a lot of flack, unnecessarily, as most flack tends to be. But he caught a lot of flack for this piece he had in ESPN, the magazine. And he said he wanted to be the first digital athlete. And it was done in a way that just screamed, like, I'm Carmelo Anthony and I'm a douche and I approve this message. So that kind of seemed like, you know, maybe that is part of the case. But it was just done in a way that kind of made him seem very, very fake. But this Vice series seems very real, very interesting. Especially if you're a Knicks fan, or a Carmelo Anthony fan, you know, so I recommend those, you know, watch them on YouTube or wherever you want to. And, but also I found, another story, and I'll try and put a link to the post here, just about his charity foundation he has in Baltimore. It's a after school program. He has for kids there, and they just, you know, they do after school stuff, tutoring, games, sports, whatever. They have a parents' night, which I'm finding is a thing. I have a kid, and parents' night seems like something I might be interested in a certain amount of time. So, I mean, it was just kind of cool, you know. He's a guy who is basically reaching out to the places that he's from, the places that kind of made him. And I think that's cool. So, you know, just check those things out if you choose. And yeah, that will about wrap it up. I just want to thank you for listening. Again, check out everything we've got coming up the site. Hot 16, Peace on Logic, game reviews. Hit us up on, you know, Twitter, Facebook, whatever you want to do. Let us know what you think about everything that we're doing. Like, share, all that stuff. If you think it sucks, let us know. We'll argue about it, but then be friends about it later. That's it for me. I'm Anthony, Orange and Blueprint, Hip Hop Sports Report. Peace.